Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, once again, it is time for Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Ryan McPherson, sitting in today for Stone Payton and Lee Cantor on behalf of Business Radio X. We are here to share the story about your business and your passion and how you are serving the community. It's my pleasure to introduce two fine gentlemen out there who are doing good things for business in the Atlanta metro area as well as around the world. First, let me introduce Joe Tomaszewski. He is CEO with Carzilla, Inc. How are you doing today, Joe?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. And tell me a little something you'll be sharing with our listeners today about Carzilla.
Carzilla is a brand new mobile-first car search platform available right now for your iPhone, available on the App Store.
Okay. And how long have you been in business?
We've been in business since April 2014.
Okay, so just a little over a year.
Yep.
And things are going good over there at Carzilla.
Yes, sir.
All right, excellent. And seated next to him in the studio today, we also have Guru Rao. Guru is with NewViz Inc., CEO, mobile business software company based here in Atlanta. Guru co-founded NewViz in 2011 with the vision of helping enterprises accelerate their adoption of mobility. Guru has spent over 20-plus years working with medium and large enterprises around the world, helping them leverage software solutions to run business better. He believes in putting the business process in the front and leveraging technology to achieve better business results. How are you doing, Guru? Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting us.
Our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your background first. What brought you to found NewViz in 2011? So a little bit of your history, please.
Yeah, sure. You know, I've been working in the technology space for 20-plus years and primarily working with enterprises, helping them run their business better. You know, as I said, you said earlier, mm-hmm. our goal is to help businesses to leverage technology, right? I've mm-hmm. spent all my life in doing that. And then when we saw this great opportunity with mobility, so we wanted to do this, bring this technology to enterprises and help them leverage that.
And that led you to found NewViz Inc. in 2011.
That's right.
And things are going good for you over there.
Yep, we're doing great.
So business is good.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about how you define enterprise mobility, please.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's all about how you leverage mobility to run your business better. So running your business better is, you know, increase your top line or reduce your cost and, you know, bring in efficiencies into organization. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the definition of mobility itself is changing. You know, a few years ago, you know, you have seen these devices that people carry, mm-hmm. right? They were mobile. And then it changed to smartphones and tablets. And in the last few years, now it's wearables. IoT, Internet of Things. So what is mobility itself is changing, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, enterprises have a daunting task in front of them to even to understand what it is, you know, let alone how to leverage that.
That's true. Mobility is changing as well as technology is changing. So you've got to stay ahead of that curve to continue to serve your market.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so what specific services do you integrate into this mobility platform to help these businesses?
Yep. So two things. One is the enterprise. The other part is the mobility. So we work with all kinds of enterprises. Mm-hmm. So what we do differently is bring in the business expertise and see how mobility can be leveraged in doing that business. So we cannot just, you know, we won't just throw the technology at you and help and say, you go figure it out, but actually learn your business, and we bring in the business experts and then understand how technology can help you.
I see.
Right? So with that respect, we have a strong background in supply chain, transportation, logistics, and retail space.
Okay. So that's definitely a huge market here in the Atlanta
Absolutely.
Metro area,
yep.
the supply chain and transportation. So you provide that mobility platform for them to help run their business more efficiently.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
good. And that's all with some of the experience you've had through the years and now bringing it to NewViz and getting that out there. So how do customers find you? How do clients find you?
You know, one of the good things that's working for us is, as I said, we have been in this business for a long time. We have done work with a lot of the retailers, a lot of the companies out there in the U.S. and in the world. So, you know, that's definitely one good thing, right? And the second part of it is of course, we are in everywhere, right? Website, social media, and we attend trade shows, and specific to technology as well as industry verticals.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, that's good. So is there a difference between enterprise mobility and consumer mobility? And if so, what is it?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of things that we are seeing today, if you look at mobility, mm-hmm. it's out there for you to see in the consumer space, right? I don't have to explain anybody about mobility. Everybody is using apps for everything that they want to do in their lives. But if you just look at enterprises, hey, there is a great technology out there. Why are enterprises not leveraging it? If you look at enterprises, they are in the very early stages of adoption, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's B2B, you know, B2E, mm-hmm. business to employee space,
right?
That's a new,
yeah,
new
learning platforms, maybe, exactly. You know, for training and such in-house.
Training and also running your business, right? So key difference, in some ways, they are the same, enterprise mobility and consumer mobility. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of other ways, they are different. They are same in the sense that when you are creating mobile applications, you have to look at the technology, the usability aspect and all that. They are the same whether you are creating a consumer app or an enterprise app. But on the other side, they are different in lot many different ways. What I mean by that is most of the consumer applications, for the most part, can exist and work as a very self-contained applications.
Right.
But when you look at enterprises, you have a bigger solution ecosystem that you have built over the years, whether it's your ERP system or your HR, finance, CRM, or what have you. Mm-hmm. Mobility in the enterprise context cannot work in a vacuum. It has to work with all these different systems yeah. to make sense for you, right? That is the key difference. And that's where people go wrong mm-hmm. in thinking, hey, it's just an app.
Yeah. No, you have to work across a broad spectrum exactly. of mobility platforms for people, and also for the you know in-house training or learning and development for some of the employees for these larger corporations, yeah. or if maybe you're trying to help facilitate the business from B2B, like yeah. you mentioned. So, yeah. What are some of the innovative technologies that you have specifically, or NuViz has specifically, brought to the marketplace?
Yeah. So, one of the key things, as I said, is about the business expertise itself. Mm-hmm. So we want to bring technology. Technology is, of course, industry agnostic. Anybody can leverage mobility in yep. doing whatever you want to do. But since we are talking about enterprises, we want to bring this business expertise. So we have built some innovative applications, solutions in the supply chain transportation space, which is our forte.
Yes.
Right? In creating applications for enabling delivery tracking, shipment tracking, proof of delivery, you know, all the real-time tracking of your inventory, of tracking of your people in the field, mm-hmm. what they're doing, how they're doing, real-time information about all that. That's an application. You know, we are mobilizing solutions for retail space, solutions for transportation and logistics, right? Which is traditionally not the flag bearers, if you will,
yes.
in terms of adopting new technologies.
Right. So the technology is evolving, how they use the technology is evolving, and so where do you pull your resources from this day and age? I mean, how do you find out what's coming next down the line, and who do you lean on for these things? Is it your developers in-house? Are you going to some of these trade shows and learning from other developers?
It's all of the above, right?
Yeah.
With the evolution, if you look at the evolution in the technology space, it is becoming steeper and steeper, right? If you go back like 20, 30 years ago, from structured programming to client server to web-based application development, mm-hmm. it took decades to get there.
Yes.
But if you look at in the last 6 to 8 years, smartphones, tablets, IoT, wearables, they've all happened in the span of 5, 6 years.
Yeah, it's really been accelerated through this past
few years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you as an enterprise, it's hard for you to keep track of all that, still run your core business the way you want to learn. Mm-hmm. So where we come into play is we live and breathe that thing 24/7, right? We want to keep up with everything that's happening mm-hmm. every day so that the companies that we work with, the customers that we work with, don't have to worry about it.
Yes, right. I see. And you've got a wearable, I see there. and so you're personally involved with it as well as professionally.
Absolutely.
So you're in there learning and living it every day, both personally and professionally. So that's great. And so how do you see these wearables changing, or the Internet of Things changing the entire landscape, the enterprise landscape, as we go forward?
Definitely. I think in terms of wearables and IoT, where we would be seeing a big impact is in the enterprise space. That is, I think, because you can demonstrate the ROI that the customers are willing to pay for it more easily in an enterprise segment versus in the consumer space. It's great to open my garage door when I am 30 feet away from the house, but am I ready to pay $10 per month for that? That's a big question,
right?
But if I can, you know, put a IoT device on a $10,000 equipment, which tells me when a preventative maintenance is due before it's actually due, that's a great thing.
No doubt. Right? It that really affects the bottom line.
That's
and your investment for that type of technology can save you numerous amounts of money down the road. So, so it's definitely changing and going forward from here. Where do you see NuViz kind of evolving from here over the next 3 to 5 years? What's on the horizon for you guys?
You know, before we go there, I think it's important to understand people who are doing in this space, creating applications, they are looking at this in the lens of what is there in front of them. But it's very important, as I said earlier, the technology is changing so fast. You cannot create today an application with, you know, what you see for a tablet or a smartphone without realizing what's coming, right? So the way we have built this company is that you should be able to leverage whatever, whether it's a smartphone or tablet, whether it's a wearable, whether it's an IoT device, you should be able to leverage. How we do that is we create a scalable platform in the backend that can talk to your enterprise devices, enterprise applications, irrespective of where the data is coming from. So in that sense, when you look at it, we are pretty much, you know, we are getting ready for whatever that is coming in the future. I cannot predict what is next. But at least I can create a platform that is scalable in a way that it can work with anything coming in the future.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is have to go right back to the drawing board in a year or two and start from scratch again. So building in that adaptability now just helps you evolve as the marketplace evolves, for sure. So
Exactly.
I saw that NuViz Inc. was top 40 innovative technology company at 2014.
Yes.
How did that success kind of greet you there?
Oh, we are very excited and proud about that. I mean, especially because that's been, you know, the key technology leaders, CIOs, CIOs, CEOs, and the technology leaders in the Georgia space are involved in selecting those companies. And coming from that, it's really a great honor for us. And it speaks volumes. Not only our customers are reaping the benefits of our vision and our solutions, but also the community sees us in the same way.
Right. And so tell me a little bit about what your day-to-day is like over there at NuViz Inc. Are you out promoting the company or trying to find new clients? Are you just managing it from behind a desk? What are some things that happen in your world on a day-to-day over there?
It's all the above.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's what we do every day. The biggest aspect is technology, keeping up with what is happening, right? And the second part of it is working with our customers. And, you know, that's at the heart of everything we do. I mean, I know every company says that. I mean, we are no different, right, in that sense, especially because we are creating this technology to help businesses. So to understand their pains and what is going through and helping them to get through this phase, which is very difficult. You know, I've talked to so many CIOs every day. They're all perplexed about what is happening. But at the same time, nobody can stand back and say, okay, let me just wait for 2 years and let all this play out and then figure out where do I want to invest. No, you wait and you'll be no more. Right. So at the same, that's why, you know, we got to talk to them and help them through their pains and at the same time keep up with the technology.
So walk me through a little bit about how you implement this strategy. If I'm a new supply chain and I'm trying to come to you, I need some you know, development. How long does that process take and what are some of the avenues you do to make that successful for them?
Awesome. It's a very good question. Leads right into, you know, the strategy of how our vision. Most of the companies in this space, the mobile space, are putting technology ahead of everything else because it's grand, it's new, it's sexy, if you will, right? So that's what they're doing. But what we are trying to do here is we are creating a platform that you can leverage to build whatever applications or solutions you want to build, right? If you look at the enterprise space, there is less than 10% of applications that companies are looking for. They exist today as an off-the-shelf application. Right? It's so new. So there are two strategies to our vision. One is creating those products that we know based on our business expertise. The other aspect is when companies come to us with new requirements, leveraging our existing platform and giving them a solution in a matter of 90 days.
90 days.
Yes.
So that's pretty short time.
Yeah, it is. So we have this strategy that we call zero to beta in 90 days. So what that means is you come to us with a solution, mm-hmm. With a problem. Mm-hmm. We sit with you to understand your problem and bring our platform, technology, business expertise, and the deployment aspect, everything.
Yeah.
Build it and host it for you and make it a running, working solution.
That is definitely a short time. What I've heard and seen is some businesses wait 6 months, maybe even more, for these processes to get implemented, and by that time, technology has already passed them.
You are absolutely
so unless
fair.
You are kind of high-speeding your implementation of solving that problem for them, they could have creating a whole other problem or have another whole problem that needs to be solved by the time it comes around. So
that's right.
Good things are happening over there at NewViz. And anything coming up this summer or trade shows or conventions you'll be attending, things you're looking forward to?
Some of the things that are happening in the next few months, we are a partner of supply chain software company leader in the space in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be at their show talking about our solutions in the supply chain space.
When and where is that?
That's in Phoenix coming up.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks here.
Okay.
And we'll be talking to a lot of the retailers and our customers and prospects. And we'll be in the mobile-centric shows, Enterprise Mobility Exchange, that's happening in Atlanta in July.
Yeah, right.
And there's one in September on the West Coast. We're going to be there. So it's a busy... Yeah. Busy time for us.
Definitely. And you're staying active, ahead of technology, getting out there, serving the marketplace. So that's good. Make sure you keep us informed here at Business Radio X of all your success. We would love to have you back at some point to talk about this a little further. So please share with our listeners. If you're out there listening and you're wanting to implement some of this to your business, or you just want more information about NewViz Inc., please share with them how they can contact you.
Sure. The best way to get hold of us is at our website, NewViz.com, and you'll find all the information there.
Right, I see you're on Twitter, twitter.com/NewViz. You're on Facebook, NewViz Inc. So make sure you connect there. And if folks want to reach you on LinkedIn, I see you're on the LinkedIn profile as well. So if they had questions, anything like that,
absolutely,
please reach out to Mr. Guru Rao over there at NewViz Inc. Thank you so much for visiting with us today. You mind sticking around?
Sure, I'll be here.
All right, great. Yeah. We're going to turn our attention here now to Mr. Joe Tomaszewski. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And he's with Carzilla Inc. He has been providing services over there for folks since April of 2014. And it is an app. Let me have you tell more about it. Please explain to our listeners in more detail from your mouth exactly what Carzilla Inc. is, please.
Yeah, thank you. So what Carzilla is, it's a brand new car search platform. We've actually only been out since mid-March. We've been developing the platform over 2 years now, but we just formally incorporated last April. So the whole idea is basically that we have a couple different competitors in the space that are a lot bigger than us. They're well-established companies. And we sort of look at it as an opportunity to really reach a younger demographic with a mobile-first platform. We see Guru, by the way, is the best lead-in ever because
I was just
sitting over here nodding at everything he
was
saying.
There's a great tie-in between the two guests here today, for sure.
I was looking at his Apple Watch, but I was also nodding in agreement with everything he was saying. And so we sort of look at this and we say, we're looking to leverage what you could do by building a native iOS application, a native mobile application. So we're looking at how, to your point, how consumers are interacting with technology, how consumers are using mobile to make purchases. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, there's a big opportunity to allow folks who are looking for cars to do something really good, really to do something better than our competitors on a mobile first platform and leverage how we could figure out where they are in the world and what their interests are. Mm-hmm. And show them the cars that we think they're really interested in.
So you can customize your search on your app about the car you want. And tell me some of the search features that you've integrated into it.
So right now, there's the full search capability that you have with any other program. You have your advanced search. You can get down to stuff like interior color, whether you want a convertible or a coupe or what have you. But the big thing is, I sort of look at it like at some point... we have to know something about you. If you've been spending 80% of your time looking at BMWs, we're going to go ahead and make an assumption about that. and maybe we show you BMWs 80% of the time. So what we're really looking to do is understand our user mm-hmm. and what might interest them. And maybe we know that, you know, you've been spending a ton of time looking for a black BMW mm-hmm. from BMW South Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so when you wake up in the morning, we're going to let you know when BMW South Atlanta has 5 new black BMWs on their lot. So it's not you necessarily always going out and searching for what you want. It's also that information coming to you.
You're pushing content to the consumer.
Exactly.
Based on what they have been searching
right.
for.
And that content is cars that are for sale at our dealerships, who are our partners who sign up and join our network, mm-hmm. and also from private sellers who we allow them to list their cars. We only charge them $1 to list their cars
right.
for sale.
Right, and I was in the market for a new car about mm-hmm. 4 or 5 months ago, and I know yeah. there's lots of resources.
Should have waited until March.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of resources out there, but I did the majority of my time shopping right. either on my mobile device, mm-hmm. my iPhone or my iPad,
right.
And then trying to see what's out there. But what I found was a lot of these dealerships who are in these high-profile platforms, they don't update their data consistently enough. You'll go and you'll find a car you like, and it was sold a week ago, but it's still listed on the website. Mm-hmm. So is there a way maybe you can prevent that, or is that on them, the dealerships, for taking that car off the site or uploading a new car sooner than later? I mean, how does that work out?
I have no idea what our competitors do. The way that it works, we partnered up with CDK, which is a division of ADP. Mm-hmm. And what CDK does, they provide a inventory management solution to dealerships. So when we sign up a dealer and they join our network, we set up their feed and it updates automatically at 6 a.m. So every morning at 6 a.m. it refreshes with all the cars that have been sold the day before taken off, all the new cars that have mm-hmm. been brought onto the lot in the last 24 hours are added. So every day it's a constant refresh. I'm not quite sure what our competitors do, but that's how we work.
Well, that's good, because you want it to be in real time. Right. You don't want to be looking and falling in love with a car on the internet and then finding out it was sold a week ago.
Right.
So you've got to be able to put contact to the consumer that is accurate and not getting their hopes and dreams up falsely, which happened to me a few times. I'd see a car, I'd fall in love and say, I want that, and then I'd call the dealership or go over there, and it wasn't happening for me because it had already been sold. So can you search just within your local zip code or something that's just in your neighborhood? I find that's something that a lot of people want to do. They don't want to go drive 80 miles across town to go find a car that potentially may not be what they want. If it's 5 miles down the road, I'm more likely to go visit the dealer and look at it up close.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of creating a mobile first platform is, we could go ahead and we could pull in all the cars that are in your area. Mm-hmm. Closest to furthest up to 100-mile radius. Mm-hmm. But then we also allow you to check out cars that are in different states, different cities. We're going to be doing a formal launch in Tampa, Orlando, and major markets in surrounding states over the next three or four months. So right now, all the cars that you see in the app, mm-hmm. regardless of where you are in the country, are just in Georgia.
Okay.
But in the very near future, we're going to have cars available in surrounding cities.
And you can search for all kinds of cars in all kinds of areas of town. If you customize it down, like you said, to the interior color.
Right.
If that's what one of your key search features. What's some of the feedback you've gotten so far from the consumers? Are you positive?
Yeah, that's the thing is, we've been developing, we spent years developing a platform, and throughout that process, it was always about literally going out to strangers in public and saying, hey, check this out, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. And throughout that process, everyone was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But there's been so much evolution in the product over the last 6 months. That we just keep getting feedback from folks and we say, hey, that's a great idea. That's what you want to see. We're going to put it in there. But pretty much across the board, everybody loves it. The big thing about it is we're just trying to present this information, which is cars that are for sale, mm-hmm. in a fun kind of way that's not boring. That's not you, trudging through a bunch of data, but it almost like window shopping.
Right. Yeah, get an idea of the car. Dealers love to put the car and put 40 photographs up there from every angle, inside, outside, upside down, doesn't matter. That's how they like you to, so you can spend all this time looking
at pictures. And the idea is that, you go home from work, you don't want to sit in front of your computer and squint at this, all this information that's all over the screen. You want to sit on your couch, mm-hmm. relax, and just have, flip through the cars. And if you notice, the pictures of the cars cycle through automatically. So it is the easiest way to shop for a car.
Right. And you also mentioned that private sellers can put their car on Carzilla. And you also I have a note here that says private sellers can list their car for $1. So tell me about that.
Well, we sort of exist in this space where there's Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's... you know, folks that are competitors, and then there's eBay Motors. The way eBay Motors works is they charge you a percentage of the sale price of your car. So at a minimum, you're going to be spending typically over $100. So we sort of look at this and we say, well, why does it have to be so much money, you know, to list your car for sale? And we're just looking to charge consumers $1. We think that's a pretty fair price. And the big thing is you could do it directly from your phone. So mm-hmm. You know, competitors' platforms, because they're built on their Web 1.0 companies, they don't really have that mobile capability. So you could walk outside to the parking lot, take a couple pictures of your cars. It's only $1, and within 30 seconds, your car is available for sale.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So pretty easy, user-friendly. I've got to ask, how does Carzilla, Inc. get revenue? Is it from the dealerships, or is it from the sales themselves, or do you guys sell ads on your space there?
We are ad-free.
Okay. That's a huge plus for a lot of folks.
Right. And dealerships are our partners in this. Without dealers, we don't have content. And mm-hmm. so the biggest thing is we're providing dealers with a low-cost solution. Folks that are in our space are charging a lot of money per month. You'd be surprised. And we're coming in and we're saying to our dealership partners, join our platform. It's only $75 a month. So it's a really inexpensive marketing solution for them. And they look at what we're doing and they say, wow, this is really cool. This is really interesting. These guys are really targeting a certain segment of the population. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a youth-oriented brand. We're millennials. Mm-hmm. Our prime target demographic is 21 to 49.
Okay.
So we sort of look at it and we say, well, we could provide these folks with a low-cost marketing platform.
Right.
And the feedback has been great.
That's good. So you're providing a good quality service at a lower rate, and these dealers are getting their car sold. So it's a win-win-win.
And,
right?
And when we go and we sit down with dealers, they go, we've been looking for something just like this. We've had people say, I wish I would have met you 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to figure out how to get our cars on mobile. The big thing in the auto industry right now is leveraging the mobile consumer. And we feel that we have the best possible platform to leverage them.
No, like I said, I was looking for a car a few months ago, and I had downloaded a couple apps from some of these huge, they're nationwide, you know, car dealer or car searching platforms. But I was inundated with ads, and I had to discontinue all these email, alerts because that kind of annoys me a little bit. And so it's great to keep it simple, mm-hmm. effective for both the user and the
and
seller.
And fun. We want it to be fun.
No doubt about it. Right. And you want to look at the pictures. I can tell instantly whether I want the car or not based on how it looks. I don't need to go into all description of, until I look at the Carfax, of course, but I'll need to look at the everything. And then next thing after I see the pictures, I want to go look at it in person.
Exactly.
That's my next step. Then we can talk about the details, look at the Carfax, and then negotiate the price.
Right. And that's what's great about our platform is, you hit one button and you could send an email to a dealer saying, hey, I love this car. I saw on Carzilla. I want to come and check it out. Or you could hit a button and you could call them. But we also allow our users to leave a comment on a car listing. So there's a person at a dealership, typically an internet sales manager, who's answering questions from consumers. So, is this a non-smoking car? Do you have all the service records? Mm-hmm. So a lot of those conversations take place through the mobile app.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
But I find that looking for cars online is like online dating as well.
you get a bunch of people emailing you.
That's right. And you look at the photograph, you can almost tell right away if this person's for you. And I don't want to get into the whole bio and background and where you've been until I think I want to go forward.
That is so interesting. Yeah. I never thought of it like
online
that.
Online dating, online car. Everything's online. Everything's mobile platforms these days. And it's really about that instant spark that you get from seeing the photograph of the car that you want or the or the person you want to date?
We've showed it to some folks, and I've given them my phone, and and they kind of got sucked into it. They're like, wow, I love this Range Rover here.
I'm can't stop. So how do people find your app? Right now you said you're on the iOS platform only.
Right.
How do they find you? You're in the App Store. Or are you putting out advertisements or elsewhere in magazines so people can see that, hey, this is an app that I could possibly use?
Right. Yeah, we're available in the App Store. We're on iPhones right now, so go to the App Store, type in Carzilla. You can download the app. It's a free app.
Excellent.
Right now, all of our marketing is very grassroots. So, you know, we have our social media marketing and, you know, that kind of stuff like every other company. But we're really out there at car shows. You know, we're at Nopi. We're at Cars and Coffee the other day. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at the Lenox Mall Car Show in like 2 weeks, I think it is. So we're really going out to folks that are our car enthusiasts, and we're saying, hey, check this out. This is something really cool. Because we understand that word of mouth is the biggest thing for our brand, and the feedback has been great.
I mean, very good. And any timeline on the release of the Android platform?
Great question. So we're building an audience on the iPhone right now, and this is very typical of not just startups, but also big companies like Facebook. They'll roll out a platform on the iPhone first. And so what we're doing is we're getting feedback from our users. We're getting feedback from our dealers. We're adding more features. We're doing some really interesting stuff. We're going to have an update on our iPhone version available in a few weeks. We have an Android version in the lab that's about 85% done, 90% done. So as soon as we get the next iPhone update out, we're going to have a beta program for folks who have Android phones. So you could sign up. You could be part of the beta release. We should have a beta version for the Android available probably in August.
Okay. And I hear that a lot. I'm not a very tech savvy kind of guy, but I hear that a lot where people will put something out on the iOS platform.
Right.
And just, you know, tell me in your own words how different it is to start an app on the iOS and then have to do it on Android from the beginning to the end. Is it that big of a difference?
The best way that I could describe it, it's like transcribing a book.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got your book to the left, your book to the right, and you're just looking over here and rewriting
in a different language.
Slightly, yeah.
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 I mean, you're telling the same story, but you've got to put it so this user over here can use it and this user over here can use it.
The biggest difference between iOS and Android is there's so much more fragmentation in Android. So there's different resolutions, different screen sizes. We have to support. There's a lot of folks using Android phones that are using older phones versus iPhone users who tend to have the newest. So we have to make sure that, which is part of the reason why it takes longer, we have to make sure that our platform works great on folks who have phones that are 2 or 3 years old.
I see. So you just educated me and hopefully some of our listeners out there on...
Well, calling it the whole dating
thing,
that was educating me. That was great.
Well, I've spent a lifetime, it seems like, on online dating and online car shopping.
There's some parallels there.
Yeah. I'm constantly out there in the marketplace looking for those things. So very good. Please share with our listeners how they can find out more information about yourself or Carzilla, please.
Yeah, we're all across social media. So you can check us out Facebook. On Facebook, we're a Carzilla app. On Twitter, we're Carzilla USA. Mm-hmm. But if you're a dealership and you're listening right now and you want to join our network of dealers, you can call us at 1-844-227-9455. Or you could shoot us an email at sales@carzillaapp.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll get in touch with you. We're really reaching out to as many dealers as we can through the Southeast right now. And we're saying, hey, join our platform right now. We really need your cars.
Right. And I see you are on LinkedIn as well. So folks could reach out to you there if they are a dealer or interested in knowing more about your services. So please look for Joe Tomaszewski. I'll spell that TOMAZEWSKI. He's out there for you.
Find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn. And
I'm on there somewhere.
Yeah, social media, Facebook, Carzilla app, Twitter, Carzilla USA. So thanks for being a guest in the studio today, Joe.
Thank you.
You educated us on the evolution of car buying applications. And so this time I'd like to open it up, just kind of a roundtable discussion. So any comments about that on the development of the app, Guru, and how that your thoughts?
I think you got two great sides here. One is the consumer side of the mobility, and the other part, what I was talking about, the enterprise side of it. Mm-hmm. And you can see a lot of parallels. Mm-hmm. And one thing I think about it is, it's for enterprises, for companies, it's no more about meeting customers' expectation. Everyone has to do it, right? It's all about how can you wow your customers with every interaction that they have with you, and mobility is playing a big role in that.
No, it's a requirement these days. It's not an option anymore. Right. Now, you have to evolve as the marketplace evolves, and if you don't, your business will not be successful. So, but yes, and speak to that, all the implementation. You guys are on iOS and Android platforms, and how much time do you spend, you know, trying to make sure each one of those is up to date and current?
Yeah, that's... You know, that's the name of the game with in this space. But what we do is, going back to the enterprise mobility, in the consumer space, you can dictate this is available on iOS. Mm-hmm. But where in the enterprise space, more and more companies are working with contract employees, contract drivers, contract delivery people, and all that. There you cannot dictate, okay, this works only on iOS.
Right
there you lost 50% of your potential customers. So we have... You know, behind our application, we have a platform mm-hmm. that provides a device-independent app development capability, right? It's a platform that I can do it once and run on iOS and Android.
Okay.
Of course, you know, it's simple. In simple terms, that's how it works. But of course, we do have all the challenges that Joe was talking about, Android fragmentations and, mm-hmm. you know, everything else. But at least we give enterprises... you know, opportunity to create the application once and run it on multiple different...
And how many folks do you have over there at NewViz Inc. working on a daily basis on these software side of things?
So right now, we totally, we have about 100 people.
Okay.
And about 60 people dedicated, you know, in our R&D working on these.
Right. And then what about you, Joe? How many folks are working on your R&D over there?
Well, we have a team of 6 developers that are...
So that's a huge portion of your workforce over there, constantly diving in to all that technology and making sure it's dialed in just right for the user.
Right. And not that, but also to your point, I mean, this is ongoing development. You know, as soon as we release the next version of our app in mid-June, we're already going to be working on the next version the next day. We're working on, you know, I can't stop looking at his Apple Watch. That's super
cool. How'd you get your hands
on that?
He's
already got the lime green band.
Yeah, too. Yeah. But everybody's been waiting for those.
You know, we're looking at wearables right now, and we're saying, well, how does this fit in with what we're doing?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Right. You could be wearing your device, walking the car lot, and seeing something pop up almost instantly that's just across the lot from you, across the street, and you can go check it out.
And I think there's also, outside of mobile, I think virtual reality and augmented reality are really the next step. So I think at some point we're gonna sort of move off of just of our phones, and we're gonna go into more of a virtual reality type setting, especially when it comes to commerce, whether it comes to shopping. I mean, imagine in the future, you're looking to buy a house that's in Florida, and you put on Oculus, and all of a sudden you're doing a walkthrough through a house that's mm-hmm. 700 miles away. So it's not something that's really going to happen immediately. Oculus just recently talked about their first consumer version is going to be, people are speculating it's going to be like $1,000. So that's sort of out of the reach from being a mainstream product, mm-hmm. but those prices are going to come down, the technology is going to get better. And so I really think that it starts on mobile, it moves to wearable, but I really think the future is augmented reality and virtual reality.
Oh, great for throwing that out there in the future and the evolution of where to go. We just did a conference with training pros, and they were talking about the future of training and L&D, mm-hmm. and virtual reality is part of their development over the next few years, where a guy who works in the construction industry and they're going through their safety training can put on the virtual reality.
And it's like he's in the room.
That's right, and they can create scenarios for him that he has to walk himself through before he can pass his safety exam.
And so you could imagine maybe that gentleman's office is in California and he has to train a crew that's in Georgia. Imagine how much money the business is saving by not having to put him up in a hotel and pay for his airfare.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's great. So as your business evolves and technology evolves, you guys are staying ahead of the curve. So definitely keep up the good success there. Any last thoughts or comments, Guru?
I think, as we were talking about, it's the beauty of these technologies is that it's creating new business models, which nobody thought about it before. You know, if you look at the vendors, software vendors, they mostly react to the existing demand. They see, oh, there's a whole lot of demand. Why don't we go and create a solution for that? But these technologies are, you know, pushing vendors as well as companies to create new business models, right? Who would have thought, like Uber, right? I'm here. you know where I am. Why don't you send me a taxi, right?
Yes.
That nobody really expressed the demand.
Seems so simple.
Exactly. So no, no, if you look at it, it looks obvious, right? But if you don't have the technology capability, it wouldn't have been possible, right? So that's the beauty.
That's very good. So very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us in the studio today. Wish you much success, not only with your personal business, but your professional endeavors. And keep up the good work out there and keep serving the marketplace. I know they appreciate it. So you've been listening to Business Radio X. If your company is doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly through the contact page on the website and pitch us your story. That's www.businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor for making this happen. On behalf of Atlanta Business Radio, I am Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.